Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Ugly Betties. My name is Steven.
And my name is Lauren.
And we're here to talk about the sex issue.
Sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the things and the bad. You're right. Copyright. I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't want Salt and Pepper to ever, like, cut me down.
So, let's talk about sex.
Because sex sells.
Yeah. So let's talk about this episode. I love this episode. This is like one of the best episodes to me.
And this is season 3, episode 19, by the way.
Yes.
So, yeah. What do you like about this episode overall before we just dive back into it?
Overall, I just feel like it's one of the strongest episodes in, like, the overall series. I just really enjoy, I enjoy seeing Betty, like, being in a relationship and, like, struggling in that relationship and how it parallels with everyone else in this episode and their struggles in their relationship. And you get to see them really, like, grow. I think there's a lot of growth from all of the characters in this episode, which I really, really like. But also there's a lot of great humor in this episode. It's really, really funny.
Yes, I agree. Even though my favorite episode is coming up in the season, which features a very pre-internationally famous Adele. I mean, she was pretty famous, but like combination between this episode and her being on SNL.
Not this episode. That's in the stars, babe.
No. I was talking about that's my favorite episode.
Oh,
like I said, featuring Adele before, like she was like super big.
Okay, we'll cut that.
But yeah, this is a very, very good episode. So let's start at the beginning, which we all know is a very good place to start.
At the beginning of the episode, we have a couple different things going on. First off being Matt and Betty are just, they're that couple. They're celebrating their 1 month anniversary. I've never been that person in a relationship. I feel like you are that person in a relationship, but I've never been that person in a relationship.
No, only me and my boyfriend, we have celebrated our...
You celebrated, like, your half-iversary, and I thought that was really funny.
No. We celebrated the day that we met.
And you then did we do celebrated... that, too. You also celebrated your half-iversary. Don't sit there and try to... I can pull up the Instagram receipts, bitch.
Okay. I'm sorry.
You don't have anything to apologize for. I'm just laughing at you because, like, I think you are this person.
I mean, I'm a hopeless romantic. What can I say? This is why I'm like, I love the show Ugly Betty, and I relate to Betty because we're both.
I guess it's cute or whatever.
thank you.
Because you're both hopeless romantics. Yes, I completely get that. I do think it was really funny, though, that it was completely ruined by Ignacio. This poor guy, this whole episode, I think Ignacio is, like, one of the funniest characters in this episode specifically. He's just so oblivious to everything going on. But yes. you have this really cute scene with Matt and Betty. And then it's also contrasted with, like, Hilda and Karate Kid. It's just so
Ralph Macchio.
Yeah, I'm going to call him Karate Kid. I'm so sorry. That's what I know him for. He even has a spin-off series on Netflix. He is Karate Kid.
Well, you don't even know his character's name in The Karate Kid, number one. Second of all, Ralph Macchio is his name. And the spinoff on Netflix is called Cobra Kai. So let's stop that. So, yeah.
So, anyways, as I was saying, That moment between Matt and Betty is contrasted really well between Hilda and Karate Kid, which is just like so awkward. It's painful. Definitely reminded me of too many bad, awkward dates. And I'm having war flashbacks.
I haven't had bad dates before.
Is that because you haven't had many dates or...
The first one.
There you go. You know me,
I have a high standard.
Yes, that's true. You have very, very high standards. That's what we'll call them.
First of all, you know, how long did it take me to get into my relationship?
Listen. It did take a while. It took a while. That's actually really lucky though that you've never had a. Anyways, as I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted. The dating pool is pretty rough out here. I can say that I have been on many very painfully awkward and bad dates. I think the worst date I've ever been on is I went to the movies with this guy, right? And
what movie did you see?
Honestly, don't even remember. It was that long ago. But he was like a cop or a cop in training or something. And I didn't know that about him whenever I swiped right. Okay.
This wasn't me, right?
What?
This was the New York.
Okay. No. What the fuck? No. This is whenever I was here and this is when I moved back to Houston after New York. And then I did not know that he was like a cop or a cop in training or whatever. But we pull up to the movie theater and he's like, "Do you want to see my gun?" And I was like, "No. What the fuck?" And he proceeds to pull it out anyway and show me. He's like, "Do you want to hold it?" And I was like, "No, I really don't want to hold your gun. Is this like a metaphor for your cock or something?" And because the answer is still no. But he, it was not a metaphor. He proceeds to still pull out his gun and give it to me to hold. And I was just like, okay, I'm really uncomfortable now. And I really would like to go home. But I was like, you know what? I feel like this is just a really awkward moment. Let's just go watch the movie. We already paid for the tickets anyway. So we watch the movie and we come back. And he's like, "Well, I'm not going to take you home until you sing for me." And I was just like, what the fuck kind of Phantom of the Opera shit is this? So yeah, that is by far one of the worst dates I've ever been on.
Oh, I do remember one bad date I had back in college. I think I told you this story. I think you were at Sam at the time. So I went on Grindr, as you know. I was talking with this guy and we met at what's the bar that we always used to go to after CASP opening night celebrations?
The place where we got was it Humphreys?
No, was Josie's, right?
Oh, I mean, we didn't go to Josie's that often. No, it was usually Humphreys. Smoking like, Josie's was the karaoke bar, but we didn't go there for the CASP parties. We went to Humphreys.
Yeah, it was Humphreys. So we chilled at Humphreys, and no, there's two dates I want to tell you about. Okay, this is the first one that we finished. It went all right, and then next time, and then I see him because he was a music major, and I waved hi and he acted like I didn't exist, and they're like, ugh, you're that type of person. It didn't go well. I didn't like him that much, but the fact that you don't acknowledge me, okay.
Hate that. Yeah, so yeah, I feel like it's very relatable watching Hilda and Karate Kid, aka Ralph Macchio.
Macchio,
whatever. It's very painful and awkward. But you know what else is like up there as well, though, with this episode. All right, no, like, what's a better transition? I can come up with a better transition.
Holding for better transition. Speaking of transition, what were you going to say?
Oh, my God. I just was saying, it's like, it was very painful and awkward to watch, but also, like, going into this next scene, it's hard to watch in a different way because, you know, this sequence with, like, the really creepy singing of, like, a normally fine song, this scene right here. I feel like this is what inspired recent horror movies to do that in all of their trailers, like literally all of their trailers. And I just want to say that Ugly Betty walked so that the horror movie industry could run.
The horror movie trailer industry.
That's still part of the industry overall, bitch. Don't try to correct me whenever I'm correct already. You do that all the time.
I mean, it's a trait that I have.
Yeah, and it's annoying.
Annoying or fun? Well, for me.
No, it's not. I already said the correct thing. You don't have to follow it up by trying to correct me when I'm already correct. Anyways. Speaking of horror, Wilhelmina sleeping with her eyes open. Absolutely a mood. That is fully me whenever I'm dissociating. That was so that whole part whenever she's just like asleep and then fucking Mark is freaking out. That is so funny to me.
I low-key I have tried to do sleep with my eyes open.
You have? How did that work out for you?
It works better with your eyes closed.
You know, I'm sure there's a lot of instances where you could say that. It works better with your eyes closed.
No comment.
Mm-hmm. No comment. Wait, speaking of no comment, can we talk about Betty and Amanda and, like, the bisexual panic I felt when Amanda got in Betty's face? And she was like, what are you waiting for? I just lose all ability to function. Just like I would have if Amanda would have done that to me. Like, if she would have got in my face like that, I would have just been like, nope, can't handle that.
Because Becky Noonan is a beautiful and talented woman.
So true, bestie.
I mean, I want to see her work more. I want her to get her own leading sitcom. That's what I want for her. I want all the things for her.
Yes, give her her flowers.
Yes, the last thing I remember seeing her on was she was in How I Met Your Mother for a few episodes.
Oh my God, I love How I Met Your Mother.
We don't talk about the finale, though, right?
We do not talk about the finale. And you know what else we don't talk about, or at least Ignacio doesn't talk about, is the lip gloss. That next scene with him with, like, finding out what lip gloss means, I just think is so funny. He has no idea. And it's so funny, like, because Hilda and Justin immediately clock Betty for wearing the lip gloss. And I was just, like, thinking the whole time, I was just like, thank God I've never had any awkward moments like this with my parents. My father isn't in my life, and my mom always just kind of, like, knew whenever whenever I was, like, dating. Like, she knew. She was just like, you went out, didn't you? And I was like, yes. Yes, I did. And that was the extent of the conversations that was had.
I never dated or anything or in high school.
You never had, like, a lip gloss moment with your parents?
No, not at all. I did it post moving out. I did it in LA.
Yeah, that's true. You sure did. If anyone is listening along, if you've ever had a lip gloss moment, be sure to let us know. Because clearly we've never had a lip gloss moment.
I mean, one of my old roommates saw me in a post lip gloss moment.
Yeah.
Like, it's obviously like if I'm leading a boy up to my room, of course, it's going to be a lip gloss moment.
That's a lip gloss moment.
It's going to be so much a lip gloss moment. The lip gloss is going to be smeared by the time it's done over with.
Oh my God. Oh, geez. That was painful. That was a very painful lip gloss moment for me just now. And it wasn't even a real lip gloss moment. And I hate you for that.
I love you. Love me.
Oh my God. You know what else? You know what else I hate, but I still kind of love? What? This scene with Daniel and Molly and Betty and Matt. You know? It's season three, and baby, I'm still riding that Betty and Daniel train. I don't care. I don't care what anybody says. I still feel like they're meant to be. But I do think it's cute that, like, they are cute couples, though. Like, Daniel and Molly and Betty and Matt are cute couples. But I don't care. I'm still team Betty and Daniel all the way. Also, I just feel like this scene is really funny because it's funny how America Ferrera is pretending that she can't sing when she's like full on musical theater queen.
I did not know that.
What? That she could sing?
I never heard her. Well, I heard her sing once.
In this episode. No, she can sing. Yeah, she's done musical theater stuff.
We'll have to talk post this and you have to tell me what she said.
We'll talk post recording. But yeah, she can actually sing. She can actually sing.
Why had she not been in any of these musicals?
That's a good question. I feel like Broadway should definitely cast her way more, but she has done musical things.
Oh, well. So.
I'm waiting for your transition.
So, awkward pause.
Oh, my God. Anyways, sorry. Not getting distracted by musical theater talk.
But we are.
Let's talk about Betty getting shot down. Because that was like, ooh, that was rough. I've curved lots of people in my time, and yet I still don't think I've ever curved someone that hard. Like, literally pushing them into a taxi cab and being like, go home. Have you ever either curved someone that hard or been curved that hard?
Yes to both.
Yes to both? Do you want to share? You don't have to share, but I just feel like it would be fun for us to talk about.
On one hand, if I tell about my humiliating stories, it would be awkward. But if I told the times that I have done it, I sound like a mean person. So I'd rather not.
I feel like it's fun to talk about, and it's funny because it's relatable to the show.
Yeah, it is relatable, and I'm relating. I could say I relate to it without telling.
Okay, well, whatever, Howard.
Why won't you tell a story when you have swerved somebody hard?
Let's see. Like I said, I don't think I've ever curved someone that hard. I've never put somebody into a cab and then, like, basically, like, told them to go home. But I have definitely curved a lot of guys before in my life. I feel like it's a big part of dating is just like curving guys that have red flags. What I mean.
Okay, I can tell one story. How about
you got this? you gotta dodge those red flags out here.
I have one story I can tell.
What's your story?
I think I don't think I told you. I think you know. But I was working at this place. I was host at a bar. I'm not gonna say what bar. I think you knew which bar. You know what bar I'm talking about.
Ah, yes, okay.
Okay. You're with me. And then one of my coworkers kept on super hitting on me. So, like, you know, make it blatantly obvious.
Yeah.
And I had to swerve him and shut him down all the time. I said, hey, I have a boyfriend. It's like, oh, you should invite him too. Like, excuse me. No.
Oh my goodness.
And then after one night, because I worked nights, I had to Uber home, and it was like Uber was like $50. They say, hey, I'll take you home. It might take a couple hours to get there though. They're like, yeah, I'd rather pay $50.
Oh God.
And then I Uber home.
That is some excellent curving right there, if I've ever heard it. I think the most recent time I had to curve somebody, it was like this fairly attractive person. And they use they, them pronouns. So they really wanted to, like, you know, hook up. And I was just like, ooh, baby, you are a walking red flag. And once upon a time, I maybe would have let you ruin my life, but it's a no for me. And so I just politely was like, oh, I'm sorry, you know. Age is only about a number, right? They're like 22, 23. And meanwhile, I was just like, no. I'm 29, and I just don't think we have anything in common. And basically just coming up with excuses because I didn't want to be rude and be like, you are a walking red flag.
And you're not tall enough to ride the ride.
Yeah, you're not tall enough to... I can't really say that, though, Stephen. I'm 5'2".
I'm emotionally tall enough to ride the ride.
There you go. But yeah, so that's like the most recent time I've had to curve somebody. It's just because, like, you know, like I said, the dating pool out here, it's hell. The bar is in hell.
I'm just for clarification, Lauren is currently recording in Houston and I'm recording in Los Angeles, so if she would come out here, she would see the bigger dating pool.
Actually, okay, fun fact, speaking of the dating pool, the dating pool situation in both LA and Houston, both LA and Houston were listed in the top 3 worst places to date in the country. And you know what was number 2? Atlanta. It was LA, Atlanta, and then Houston. So
why? Because people out here are vain and narcissistic and who have super obsession to beauty standards. And
you know, that might have something to do with it. Yeah.
a little bit. And you wonder why it took me so long. You know, and that.
Yeah, you gotta hold on to that one. You gotta hold on to that guy.
You know,
found one of the good ones.
Mm-hmm. Even though sometimes...
go ahead. Sorry.
Sometimes he annoys me as all hell, but I'll hold on to him.
Some other interesting questions that I thought we could talk about. Some interesting questions that were posed in the episode. Yeah. Are you more of like a Hilda or a Betty? Do you like a good boy or a bad boy? Let's discuss.
Are you trying to get me in trouble in my relationship?
No.
Okay.
I'm not trying to get you in trouble. I'm trying to get you to answer the hard questions that this episode is posing. We're on a podcast, Stephen. That's what we do.
All right. I will answer this. All right. I love my boyfriend. As I will, like, as you well know.
Yes. Is your boyfriend a good boy or a bad boy?
That's private. But
is it really private? All I'm asking is he a good boy or a bad boy? Like, what where does he fall on that scale?
I won't answer that question, but I will answer your first question. I like a little bit of a bad boy.
Okay, so then can we imply, the listeners, can we imply that Izzy is a little bit of a bad boy?
I plead the fifth.
You're such a coward! Personally, for me, I agree. I think I like, I actually like a little bit of both. I want a good boy in the streets, but a bad boy in the sheets. That's what I'm really looking for. my other question for you, or for the both of us, really, are like Amanda versus Betty, right? Do you go more for the subtle approach, or are you more bold?
It depends on, I mean, with Izzy, I was a lot more bold.
Oh yeah.
I made it obvious. I made it obvious to say, hey, let's, you know, do this.
Like,
thing.
Let's go out. Like, let's be a couple. Let's go out.
And how long has this going out lasted? Over a year. So I think it worked out pretty well.
Period. Oh, go ahead.
But back in my pre-shy days, I think I was a little bit more shy. I was more subtle, but now I'm more bold.
Oh yeah.
I used to like write cute notes of people who I like back in high school and all that stuff, but that was just high school Steven. That was Steven who ate fried chicken fried steak and gravy and chocolate chip cookie Steven.
Oh, so you were not always an annoying vegan, I see. Interesting.
Wait, you knew me when
To anyone who's listening right now, before we started recording this podcast, Steven was being an annoying vegan and being like, I used to eat meat, but I'm above that now. And I'm just like, I just want to say, don't be like Steven. Don't be one of those annoying vegans like Steven. Please.
Okay, anyways. I mean, you knew me when I ate meat before. Remember?
Yes, I did.
So, you remember when I used to eat the food at the food hall and
Yeah.
Pizza Hut and all that.
Like the only options that we had was like Chick-fil-A and their Pizza homophobic Hut. Chicken and Pizza Hut and Einstein's bagel.
And in the cafeteria food at Sam Houston.
Yeah. Ooh, that was rough times. And to answer your question, you're like, was I annoying back then? Yes. You're just extra annoying now.
I'm healthier now and I'm extra annoying because I'm feeling myself and I'm looking very good. Which honestly I'm proud of because I've been going to the gym and really working on myself.
Yes, period. As you should. You should feel more confident.
And you just need to stop being confident.
Less annoying.
But what's your answer to your question?
To answer the question, I think that I don't think I'm really bold. I think I'm very obvious with my feelings, but that doesn't mean that I'm bold. I still have more of a subtle approach. in the sense that, like, I write a lot of poetry. I write love songs. I write, I write about my feelings a lot. And then I also, like, post on Instagram. And I post, like, little, like, things that are targeted towards. Yeah, just them. That's like targeted at them specifically, but I don't at them, right? So that's like, fully me. Whenever I have a crush, is me posting my like love poetry and like posting memes and stuff about that are targeted at that specific person, waiting for them to see it, which I feel is very Aquarius behavior of me. But speaking of writing poetry, Molly is writing poetry in this episode, which comes up, and it made me laugh because I was like, oh my god, she's just like me for real. Especially with her comment about like how the ocean is a great metaphor for lovers. I was like, yeah, that's so true. I have so many poems like that.
Yeah, and it's I love how Daniel went on this journey of like, even though he feels embarrassed by his Molly's poetry, he learned how, you know, sometimes he has to support people in relationship quirky things that they like to do. And that's something about growing happens when you grow in a relationship.
Yeah, because that becomes like a point of contention between her and Daniel. And one of my favorite moments is Betty like putting him in his place. It's so funny because she was the one that pointed out to him about how her poem was about him, but I love that she still like she doubled down and she was like, no, like you're being an idiot and you're being a jerk. Like she's brave enough to like read this poem, so you should be brave enough to like let people hear it. And I loved that. And I love that Betty is still that person for him, to like keep him grounded and keep him humble. Which is why, in my opinion, they're so good together.
And,
but that's just me, you know?
I want to get back to Betty. Speaking of, yeah. I love that moment. I love the moment when Mark and Amanda gave Betty that sexual makeover.
The makeover. It's so funny. I thought it was going to be just us girls. It is.
And Mark.
That was Amanda and Mark going like, it is. I love them so much. And I also just love a good montage. I always say that. I feel like I say that on every episode that I'm on, but it's true. I love a good montage.
And the next episode you're recording has a montage in it too at the end.
Yes. I listen. This show knew how to do a good montage, and I love them for that.
And I would like to know how well Michael Urie is slaying the game out here, booking all these gigs. He's in Shrinking on Apple TV with Harrison Ford and Jason Segel. He was the lead of a gay romantic Christmas comedy on. Gay rom-com on Netflix. He's currently, I'm not sure if it's over with, but he was in the performance of Spamalot in New York with James Merle Iglehart. He was in that. He is booking.
He's booked and blessed, baby.
And I didn't know he went to Juilliard. That's something else I didn't know.
Oh, I did not know that either. We learn something new every episode. Yeah. every podcast, we learn something new. So that's the first montage in the episode. We also get a second one, too, which is very Scooby-Doo of them trying to figure out, like, what's wrong with Matt, which I think is so funny. Which I want our audience to like put in their lock in your votes now. Is Matt gay, a virgin, or is he cheating on Betty? Place your guesses now. I'll give you 3 seconds. And are we ready for the answer?
It's the best answer in the world. May I say it?
Yes, the correct answer is, drum roll please, Steven.
None of them, because he's in therapy getting the help he needs because he's a sex addict.
There you go. He is a sex addict. I swear that was the funniest, like, so unexpected, like a plot twist, especially like you. I was not guessing that for that character. Like, I remember the first time I watched it, I was like, oh no, is he gay? That was like immediately what my mind jumped to. I was like, that's gotta be it, right? Or maybe he's a virgin. No, completely took me by surprise.
And that's something else we haven't talked about this episode, speaking of the bad boy thing we talked about earlier, is Hilda's obsession with a little bit of a bad boy. And what? Now, when I forgot, what is Ralph Macchio's character's name? Tony? Is it Tony? No, because when Ralph Macchio's character's ex comes, say, fighting for him, Hilda gets a spark like, ooh, you're a little bit spicy. She needs a little bit of danger.
He needs a bad boy. Yeah. That was why I kind of like phrased it like that. Like Hilda's whole thing of she wants a bad boy. Betty wants like a good boy. There's definitely, I feel like Hilda has like a little bit of a toxic vibe to her because she was only more interested in him after she had to like fight for him. And I was like, Hilda, that's a little bit problematic of you. A problematic fave.
And Archie called Hilda, not Tony, Archie called Hilda out on that. He's
that's
like,
his name, yes, Archie. There you go. Yeah. He does. He called her out on that, which, like, rightfully so. Because I would also be offended if, like, they're like, oh, well, now that you're acting like this, I'm more attracted to you. I'd be like, But, like, also, I think it's kind of that thing where, like, you know, speaking of therapy, you're attracted to what you're comfortable with and what you're familiar with. So I think for Hilda, it's just that Archie is a different kind of guy than she's ever been with before. Mm-hmm. It's not what she's familiar with. And I think she proves that in the sense she proves herself because between that moment with her and Archie and like trying to like resolving that and also with Matt and Betty and Daniel and Molly, I think there's like a lot of really beautiful moments in that chaos too. There's a lot of vulnerability coming from these characters in this episode. Daniel being brave and vulnerable enough to let Molly read her poetry. Hilda and Archie talking about their previous toxic relationships, how they want to give each other a chance. And then, yeah, like Matt and Betty, like opening up and being like, hey, this is really weird for me because like I want to feel special and now I don't feel special anymore. And how he's like, yeah, but it's still special to me because I've never been with like you before and how I've never been with anyone like you. So like, I love that. I love that we get moments of like nice vulnerability with these characters.
And one person we haven't talked about.
Oh my God, you're right.
Wilhelmina. Because Connor, this is post Connor running off with the money and they're still building back the company. And who's having sleepless night and lonely nights? Wilhelmina.
For those who are missing the context, that's why she was like sleeping with her eyes open is because she has not been sleeping well. I think Miss Wilhelmina is feeling a little bit lonely. And Mark has the brilliant idea to send over a nanny, I guess, but also like some serious eye candy. Let's be real. With the intention of helping Wilhelmina with her loneliness problem.
That's a true friend right there.
That is a true friend. Go ahead.
If I was ever in that situation, I would expect say, "Hey, you are my our other mutual friend Adolfo, who also been on this podcast. Say, hey, I sent you a little over a little treat. Let's go clubbing. Let's put some dollars in some strippers and let's see what happens. Let's get you drunk."
Oh my god.
Let's let your metaphorical hair down.
Yeah, but there is also there's also a really lovely moment between them in that episode too, where she's being vulnerable with the nanny and like he helps her to see that she doesn't need sex. She just needs to heal and move on, which mm-hmm. beautiful. I love that. That's great fucking writing.
and it's funny because me and Lauren, we're talking about writing and we are in the midst of a writer's strike and how we need to support our writers. And
now more than ever, we need to be supporting our writers.
And this
it's
is
crazy to me that it's been, what, 15 years since the writer's strike that happened whenever Ugly Betty was on the air?
During season two. It affected season two of Ugly Betty. It was 07, 08.
Yeah, so I could be wrong on the math, but I feel like it's been 15 years since we had the last writer strike, which did affect Ugly Betty. And I can't believe that, like, we still don't know how to treat writers and pay them what they're worth. It truly boggles the mind that we are in the year of our Lord 2023 and we can't get it together and treat people fairly.
Mm-hmm.
So me and Steven both, we stand with the Writers Union, the WGA, and we support and all writers.
15 and years, you were right. 15 years since the last writer's strike.
Look at that. She can do math sometimes.
And we were talking about we might have a looming SAG strike on our hands as well, because this is in the year of our Lord 2023. There's a strike authorization vote going out to SAG members. And there's a lot of things that SAG is fighting for as well. As me and Lauren being actors in Georgia as well. I'm speaking for George as well. You might see it's fancy on TV. Say, oh, these actors are making money. But do we though? The residuals, like the thing that I shared you with the actress from Orange is New Black, the residuals, remember that? That I sent you?
I do remember that, yeah.
And she'd been posting videos about how there wasn't fair pay on that show when it came to like residuals and like, you know, other stuff. I don't want to speak to her experience, or I don't know the full details because I don't remember off the top of my head. But so like thinking like successful show like Orange is the New Black that was on a very popular streaming service that makes a lot of money, like Netflix.
Right. It's crazy to think that we cannot treat our writers fairly, our actors fairly,
our director fairly.
Anyone in the entertainment and industry, that the fact that we're still fighting for these things.
And now the advent of AI is getting more and more scary. You can take an actor's license and have an actor do the role with just a face over him, like a AI face over them.
Mm-hmm.
Just think about this is going to be rough.
Yeah, what they should really be doing is having AI like do the more like difficult, like I don't think AI should be doing anything creative as far as creativity focused. It needs to be more on like, I don't know, helping people complete like more difficult jobs, you know, like it should be more in the realms of like science or like more practical uses and not trying to force AI to be creative, because that's what
And what's it called? I saw a sign on during the strike so far. One of the signs is like AI doesn't have childhood trauma.
A good line. And speaking of good lines, actually, what is your favorite line?
From this episode. I don't know. I will refer that to you. 'Cause you lo I love this episode, but I will give it to you.
White people and Taye Diggs. That golden line. Golden line. So fucking funny. What is it with white people and Taye Diggs?
Oh, speaking of Taye Diggs, you seen how Stella got her groove back, right?
Yeah. It's been a while, but yes, I do remember seeing that.
I watched it with George one night. We were having our movie nights, and they're like, "Oh, Taye Diggs, he still got it now." Yeah, anything else you want to talk about this episode before we sign off?
I don't know, you interrupted my thought earlier and I don't know what I was going to say. So no, I don't think I have any other thoughts.
And the next time Lauren will be back is for In the Stars. I'm so excited.
Yes, I'm very, very excited about that. I guess to try to come up with some final thoughts, like I said, I just really love that there are some really beautiful moments in this episode of like I said, just real vulnerability, between all these characters, because that's really what it is, you know. That's when the writing is so good, is whenever you just have these really human and vulnerable moments with these characters. They like It's a sitcom and it's so funny. It's such a good show, but it also does the humanity so well too. And that's what I love about Ugly Betty. And that's why this is, I think, one of the best episodes in the overall series, because it's that perfect, like chef's kiss perfection, perfect amount of like the comedy as well as with the humanity.
And this
And we love
episode
that.
could have been retitled not the sex issue, the intimacy issue. Because they were all dealing with intimacy issues.
That's true.
Because that's what sex
It was like,
is.
yeah. Well, I mean, like, there's intimacy involved in sex as well, so I kind of get it. And also, like, I think the magazine as well was like talking about sex. We didn't really talk about what was going on at like Mode, but
Mode is going downhill at the moment. They're trying to revive it using a sex issue to get
yeah.
splashy ads. But the real meat of the story is it's these human intimate connections.
Yes,
The
exactly.
intimacy issue.
The intimacy issue, the sex issue. It's a great
Well,
episode of tele it's like a great episode of television, great episode of the entire series. I love it. And I'm really glad that I got to be on this episode of the Ugly Betties.
without further ado, my name is Steven.
My name is Lauren.
Bye.
Bye.